Aloha kākou. Emphasis on the kākou part today, on the Aloha Friday conversation, art, culture, and ideas in Hawaii. I'm Noe Tanigawa. So glad you're here with us today. First, we're diving into American culture. Actor Daniel Dae Kim spoke before the House Judiciary Subcommittee on Civil Rights and Civil Liberties yesterday. He was among prominent Asian Americans calling for bills condemning acts of hate against Asians. He later revealed his sister has been the victim of a hate crime. We talked before the shootings in Atlanta, but Kim's called attention to anti-Asian bias before. In February, he and actor Daniel Wu sponsored a $25,000 reward for information leading to arrest in the attack on a 91-year-old man in Oakland. That reward was criticized by some as perpetuating surveillance and arrest tactics over community solutions. Kim has been in Hawaii since 2004. He was a regular on Lost, then Hawaii Five-O. He and his wife raised two sons in Hawaii, and they've gotten involved in this community. I caught him on location in Toronto and asked if he's actually still living here in Honolulu.
Yeah, Hawaii's still home. I love it. I tell you, after being in like 10-degree weather for the past month, I'm so homesick.
Glad to hear it. Help us with this. You know, I just want to talk to you about what you and your particular position can help us with. You know, how do you think American media, Hollywood, sees Asians?
It's a really good question, and one that I've been asking for, you know, a good 30 years, because that's how long I've been in this business. The good news is, I think it's changing. We have more of a presence now than maybe we ever have in American history. We have more representation now that we've had. And I think there's more dialogue around issues of representation, those kinds of conversations we haven't had in the past also. I think a lot of times, to be completely frank, Asian Americans fall through the cracks of the conversations about race. African Americans have a very distinct and special place in our history, as do Latinx Americans. Asian Americans do as well. And too often, I think our achievements are discounted as part of American history.
Not seen is more often the case, really. It's as though we're talking about an awareness that few participate in.
I think that's true. I think, you know, we are a small portion of the population on the mainland. And so those of us who are speaking up about these things are often preaching to the choir or often speaking to our own echo chamber. The key for us is to really amplify our message to the point where people beyond the Asian American community start to take notice of our contributions. I think living in a place like Hawaii, it's relatively blissful. You know, I feel very fortunate about that. And at the same time, the issues in America are real. As the events of the past couple of months have really highlighted, there's a lot of work to be done.
You've spoken out about it. You've acted on your convictions in that case in a complex discussion that's going on about how to respond to this kind of racism. What do you say?
I'm glad to have been a part of that conversation, and I continue to be a part of that conversation. And I think that's really what it's going to require. None of these issues are going to be solved in a day. One of the unusual circumstances of social media is that extreme voices often are the loudest. And, you know, those of us who might be a little bit more moderate or more tempered or more thoughtful in the way we approach this particular issue can sometimes be drowned out. Did I feel like the criticism was unfair? Well, I will say that there were assumptions made about the reward that Daniel and I posted that we were not making. We did not call out any particular community. And if anything, our call is to try and unite communities, because I understand and I firmly believe that the only way we're going to solve these issues is together. It's not just an Asian American issue. It's an issue of power and a system of power that has oppressed certain communities. And that's not specific just to us.
And it's a question of perceptions and the role the media has in that. That's where you sit, Daniel. What is a production company? What is Hollywood's calculus when they cast you in a role?
You know, it's very interesting. I mean, I think, again, it's changing now, but so often we were there as, I guess, seasoning on the dish, on the main dish. You know, we were too often the ones in supporting roles just to show networks had a diverse cast. Very often we were relegated to the forensic specialist or the computer tech guy who gives all the exposition to the white leads. But many of a generation ago would consider that progress too, because at least we would be seen. So this is a continuum. And I think that's really important to remember. And now as I sit here in Toronto, as I play the first lead role in my television career, the fact is not lost on me that it has taken a while, and it's a symbol of progress in and of itself.
Can you tell us about this role?
Sure. It's a series called The Hot Zone, and it's a season two of this series. It's an anthology series. The first one dealt with the Ebola virus based on the book by Richard Preston. The second season deals with the anthrax attacks that took place a few weeks after 9/11. Yes. There were envelopes laced with anthrax sent to people like Tom Brokaw and certain politicians. My role is the lead investigator trying to find the source of these attacks.
Wow, it sounds great.
I'm excited to play the role, and I'm really embracing this idea that even though the lead investigator may not have been Asian American in real life, the producers have had enough confidence in me and see the world in such a way that an Asian American could be the lead investigator. Again, that's a big sign of progress.
Do you think race has played a role in compensation?
Absolutely. It's no secret that women have been paid less than men and people of color have been paid less than their white counterparts. That is factually borne out through in study after study. And I think the more insidious way that it plays out is systemically. For instance, TV networks will have a system where they will pay their lead actor a certain amount and they budget a certain amount for the second and third leads. And they often stick by these standards for all of their shows. But where the systemic issue happens is if you never hire a minority person as your lead, you are constantly suppressing their salaries. And so this is something that is not talked about so much in television and in film. That's why it's important for people of color to be playing leads, for women to be playing leads, so that they can break through these barriers.
I saw such a great film the other day, and it had an Asian lead. He was a farmer in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Minari, it's a beautiful film, and I'm really glad that it's getting the attention it's receiving. Again, I don't think this film would have been made 20 years ago. Even now, we so often get the feedback that, you know, as I develop projects, well, we're not sure who the audience is going to be for this, which is sometimes, not all the time, sometimes code for this doesn't interest me as a non-Asian person. So I don't think...
How did that film make it past that?
No, it's a sign of the times. Things are changing. And I think people are recognizing more that American stories do not necessarily mean that it's just white American stories. It's what America is and what America means can have many faces, African American, in this case, Korean American. And this is a story that in many ways parallels my family's. And so I understand this and I believe this to be an American story. I mean, most people's perception of America was what they used to watch on their TV screens. You know, they are a passive value delivery system. And so as we watch more and more people of color's stories being told, we're also sharing the implicit message that these are valid, legitimate stories, and these are people worth understanding and empathizing with.
Thank you so much, Daniel. All killer, no filler. We're good.
I do want to add one thing, and that is that it's significant to me that these attacks are happening against elderly Asian Americans, because when I think about Hawaii and I think about the people that I know in Hawaii, the kapuna that I know and love, it had a direct effect on why this influenced me and so much, because I know the spirit with which people in Hawaii live. To be honest, it's one of the reasons I wanted to raise my family in Hawaii, because I wanted my kids to grow up somewhere where they didn't have to face the discrimination that I faced when I was a kid. And so I consider myself very fortunate that they were able to grow up there. But at the same time, it's important that they get the experience of what the mainland is like and what, quote unquote, the real world in some sense is, because not everyone is as kind as they are where we live at home.
When are you coming back?
not soon enough. Okay. I'm scheduled to finish here in May, and as soon as I do, I'm taking the first flight home.
Actor Daniel Day Kim. Yesterday at a House hearing in Washington, Kim recalled that a year ago, he had requested support for a bill condemning acts of hate against Asians. No money or resources were required. Still, Kim pointed out, 164 members of Congress, all Republican, voted against it. We'll see what happens this year.